Welcome to Shattering Myths, a program devoted to the largest segment of society. To those who've come to know that all of the world's political, religious, military, economic, and media institutions are corrupt, that they have actually become counterproductive, and that none of them can be fixed. Our phone number, if you'd like to participate in this discussion anytime over the next 3 hours, toll-free, 877-376-45. It is my pleasure to welcome IQ Al-Rasuli. He is the foremost expert on the religion of Islam. Yesterday we learned, IQ, that the President of the United States sent a secret letter to the Ayatollah in Iran, asking him to help in the war against the Islamic State. What do you think the odds are that that's going to accomplish something worthwhile?
Zero. I don't have to add more than that, really. Yeah. Zero.
The Iranian government, isn't it the primary sponsor of the Syrian government?
Yes, and also the primary sponsor of terrorism all over the world.
Okay, and the Syrian government, I've seen thousands of pictures where they perpetrated a holocaust on their own people that, while not similar in scale, is similar in depravity and photographic evidence to what the Germans did to the Jews in World War II. Why would anybody in their right mind, in the free world, align with a government that is sponsoring the savagery of independent and innocent civilians, which the Assad
right.
regime is doing?
You're right about the right mind, but Obama is the one. He doesn't have the right mind. He never did.
Now, it puts the Iranians, of course, in an interesting position. The Iranians despise the United States. They would, given the opportunity, they would obliterate the United States, which, of course, is interesting that he would be writing them a letter for help. But the Islamic State is an enemy of the Iranian regime because their goal is to eradicate Shia Islam. So that puts Iran in kind of an interesting position where it's actually in their interest to join with the United States in the obliteration of the Islamic State. But by so doing, you're empowering a dictatorial madman in Assad.
True. I agree with you. But this is the game that has been played historically throughout history. The enemy of my enemy is my friend.
And, you know, I have studied history. I have never found that to be a moral or wise or productive choice. Sun Tzu, who wrote it, was wrong.
Nonetheless, that's what's happening. I agree with you. But that is exactly what has been happening throughout the history of humanity.
Can you explain to me?
Alliances. You ally yourself with the devil, thinking that the devil will be only for that moment of time will be your friend, not realizing the devil will be your friend, your enemy forever. But that's what happens.
With the Islamic State,
Obama is not doing it for the good of America.
Of course,
Obama is doing it for the good of Islam.
Yeah. The Islamic State, while we're on the subject, would they have been able to rise in power to the point that they were able to capture large swaths of Iraq and the weapons that America had provided the Shiite government of Iraq, had they not aligned with the Awakening Program, the Sunni tribal leaders that were well up in the leadership of the Saddam Hussein government, whether it be in the military as military officers or as businessmen or as politicians, as governors. Had they not formed that alliance, would the Islamic State be anything more than, for example, al-Nusra currently is in Syria?
They're the same. And you're right. The officers of Saddam Hussein are the ones who are running ISIS, literally.
Correct. Yes. Yeah, this notion that in Iraq we're trying to get the Awakening Program Sunni tribal leaders to oppose the Islamic State is utter nonsense. The Islamic State wasn't the Islamic State. They were a small-time Islamic terrorist group prior to their leadership being literally taken over by the Awakening Program. That was Petraeus's stupid idea, where he said that we could have the Awakening Program in Iraq, have Sunnis go after Al-Qaeda in Iraq, and that they would use American weapons to go after Al-Qaeda. Well, they use those weapons, all right. But they use those weapons to create the Islamic State.
But this is what has been happening throughout the history of America's involvement in the Middle East and in Pakistan and Afghanistan. They armed the very people who turned against them in the end.
Yeah.
Whether it was Taliban, whether it was Osama bin Laden, it's exactly the same. The same repeated mistake. And for the same reason.
Sorry, let's look at Iraq one more time here. Which government do you think would be worse? The current government of Iraq, which is resolutely Shia and wholly and completely controlled by the mullahs in Tehran, or the Islamic State?
You know what? I prefer the one who's running the show now, not the Islamic State.
You think the Shiite government is slightly superior to the Islamic State?
Well, they are. To tell you the truth, they are. Because Islamic State is nihilistic. They are destroying the heritage of Iraq. At least this government is not doing that. They are destroying all the Christians. The government of the Iranian-controlled government was not killing Christians. The Islamic State is literally the enemy of every human being who is not a Muslim, Sunni style. That's what it is.
Yeah.
In a nutshell, really, there's nothing else.
Yeah, I would challenge that to some degree. I mean, by the way, we're only talking about nuances here because both are rotten to the core. But in the years from the time that America enabled the Iranians to control Iraq, that was one of the dumbest moves in American history. America obviously couldn't count and didn't know that one person, one vote would establish a Shiite government controlled by Iraq, but by Iran. But that's what happened. From that moment to the time of the Islamic State, the Christian population of Iraq was decimated. So while I would agree with you that the Islamic State is even more ruthless on Christians than was the Shiite government, during the 7 or 8 years that the Shiite government was in control of Iraq, the Christian population was decimated.
Correct. But as you said, we're looking at two despicable systems, but both of them are Islam. And both
It was interesting, of course, though, that while the Iranian-backed government of Iraq was decimating Christians, America didn't seem to have any concerns. We continued to supply them with weapons. It was only when the Islamic State started attacking Zoroastrians that we had a conniption fit.
You know, it is remarkable, and I've been doing that for literally now 4 years. I kept asking the question, how is it possible for Christians in Europe and the United States of America, including the Pope, including all the leaders of Europe, to keep their mouth shut while Christians are being decimated everywhere in North Africa, in Iraq, and everywhere under Islam. They've been quiet, but they are still quiet, by the way. They haven't said anything. They haven't done anything.
Actually, I think they have, but not the right kind of response. What you find is that you find the Pope going meeting with Hamas and the Palestinian Authority and telling the Muslims in Israel that it's their country and that he's opposed to Israel and in favor of the Islamic terrorists. You had the Pope come out on behalf of the Assad regime. You know, the Pope has repetitively spoken of Islam as a sister religion and as a great religion and one that's compatible with Roman Catholicism. So, in America, most American Christians, particularly at their leadership level, are anti-Israel and pro-Muslim.
Correct. I agree with you. I asked the same question literally in 50% of the talk shows I had with America.
Mm-hmm.
And most of the people who answered me, I mean, most of the talk shows who answered, they said because for the last 60, 70 years, the education system in the United States of America was run by liberal left-wingers.
Yeah, of course.
Who completely destroyed God, as far as America is concerned, completely destroyed the feeling of Americans to be nationalistic, to believe that America is good. But no, they replaced it with America is bad. That most of the problems in the world are because of America. I don't believe
America,
that.
Yeah, you know, I do. America is bad. I mean, everything we do as a nation is wrong. You know, our NSA is wrong against Americans, and our military is wrong against the world, and it's counterproductive. Our invasion of Afghanistan and Iraq were as counterproductive as our invasion of Vietnam. America has become rotten to the core. That doesn't mean that the average American is immoral, but the other talk show hosts who have told you that America's education system has been taken over by leftists, what they have done is they've imposed their religion, and their religion is socialist secular humanism. And in that religion, there is no morality. There is no right and wrong. Machiavelli prevails. The end justifies the means. And so you do have perhaps two generations now of Americans who have been indoctrinated in an educational system where they're incapable of being moral, are making a moral judgment. So it's why so many are lost and don't respond when we use evidence and reason to explain that, you know, we've made a mess of things. You know, IQ, there is no way to look at the American invasion of Iraq favorably.
I agree. But we can't go on back again and again to Iraq. We can't. It's done.
Yep.
We should
it's
do
done.
What's
but
happening
it,
under Obama, which is even worse than what Bush did.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I think they're both wrong in their own way. And let's talk about that when we return. What Bush did, which was the invasion of Afghanistan and Iraq, breaking both countries, totally counterproductive wars, both based on lies. And Obama elevating the value of Islam. Welcome back to Shattering Myths. We're having a conversation with IQ Al-Rasuli. And before we compare the stupidity and counterproductive behavior, even suicidal behavior, of one Barack Hussein Obama against George W. Bush, I'd like to ask you one other question that shows a differential. You know how hellish the Assad regime has been. There, you know, photographs now been released showing hundreds of thousands of people tortured to death. You know the torturous behavior of the Islamic State. Those are the two options for Syria. Which one's better?
None. Neither, obviously.
Yeah, I mean, I think I would make the same claim that Assad is a better choice than the Islamic State, just like you said that the Shiite government of Iran is better than the Islamic State. But you're talking about evil on an unimaginable scale versus evil on an even less imaginable scale. So, you know, it's pretty hard to compare the two. I think the same thing is true between George W. Bush and Barack Hussein Obama. I see today that and I always want to keep at the forefront IQ, cause and effect. For example, terrorism is an effect. Islam is the cause of 99.9% of that effect today. Cause and effect is really important. The reason that the Islamic State exists, the reason that there is a civil war in Iraq and a civil war in Syria is because George W. Bush, based on a pile of lies, invaded Iraq. Had he not done so, we wouldn't be in this mess.
But we are in this mess. The question is this. If everybody realized that George W. Bush made a mistake, how is it government after government in the United States of America continued the same mistake.
Yeah, in fact, making the mistake worse.
Okay.
Now, with Obama, you have an entirely different problem. Obama is about the business of promoting Islam, of speaking on behalf of Islam, of telling Muslims that this is their time, that America will never be at war with them, and that America recognizes that this is their time to prevail. You know, his speeches to the Islamic world have made a tremendous influence in the rise of Islamic terrorism.
Absolutely no doubt about it. His speech in Cairo in 2009 is what started all of it, I think.
Yes, I agree. Where he told Muslims, you know, this is your time. You have a great religion. Grab hold of it. Rise up, you know. State your claim. And, of course, the first fallout of that occurred in Tunisia, and then the Muslim Brotherhood victory in Egypt, and then being replaced by a draconian military junta, and then the civil war in Syria. I mean, it's just one domino after another that continues to fall.
But yeah, as you know as well as I do, that there is no chance in hell that any Islamic state can be a democracy. Can
of course
be fair.
Not.
It can't.
Of course not.
They're
no.
all dysfunctional. Every single one of them, no matter on what shade they give to themselves, what name they give to themselves, they are all dysfunctional.
Yeah, they're dysfunctional for a number of reasons. One is that when the truth doesn't matter, when you can bear false witness legally, then you have no chance of having a vibrant economy or a trustworthy government. And the Quran specifically says that you can lie and that lying is good. If you have a religion that establishes your culture where stealing is considered good, which it is in the Quran, then you can't have a sane, moral government. You know, when killing is the highest form of duty in the religion, how in the world are you going to have a civilized country? And doesn't the Quran say that Muslims have no choice in the matter, that Allah has chosen their religion?
Absolutely. According to the Quran, Allah has chosen Islam for them, but Islam, the Muhammad type of Islam.
Yes.
He chose it for them, yes. It's predestined already.
And what does Islam mean?
To submit.
Right.
Only
is
to
there
submit
any
doesn't mean the verb. The root verb is aslama. It doesn't mean peace. It has nothing to do with surrender. It's to do completely with submission, and that is exactly what they do throughout their life for the last 1,400 years.
Submission. Somebody that submits, do they have freedom of choice?
None. They're slaves.
Right. So how in the world can you have a democracy in a culture dominated by a religion named submission?
You can't, and that's exactly what has been happening for 1,400 years.
Right. It's absolutely impossible. What we attempted to achieve in Afghanistan and Iraq at great cost of blood and coin is impossible. Welcome back to Shattering Desperation IQ with a discussion with IQ Al-Rasuli, the foremost expert on Islam in the world. IQ, there's been a rash of terrorist activities taking place in Jerusalem here recently. And it all seems to revolve around the same thing. The dastardly Jews are building houses in their capital. And the Muslims are responding to the Jews building houses by acts of terrorism, killing three-month-old babies and women and the like. And every time that the murderer is held accountable, the Muslims respond by rioting some more. Doesn't sound like a group of people you'd want to wrap your arms around, does it?
No, but this is Islam. The tragedy is really again and again and again repeated. The fault is not with the Muslims. The fault is with the Jews. The fault is with the Israelis. The fault is with the Christians, with the Hindus and the Buddhists. The fault is with the people who are not Muslim, because their leadership deny that the elephant fills the room.
Yeah.
But Islam is guilty. They deny it.
Right.
And this is where the problem is.
It's not just an elephant that's filling the room, but this elephant is a carnivore and has extraordinarily sharp teeth and will trample to death everything in its vicinity. It's the most deadly plague ever invented by humankind. So what you're saying is that while Muslims are responsible for the vast preponderance of bad behavior in the world, the Christian, the Western, the democratic response to Islam is aiding and abetting this monster, as opposed to quarantining the monster, as opposed to restraining the monster.
Yeah, I remember what you told me once when I asked you, what would your response be if there is another attack like 9/11?
Mm-hmm.
If I'm not wrong, you said Mecca and Medina will be turned into glass.
Correct.
Or which I agree 100%.
Instantly.
Because that's the language they understand. That is the only language they understand.
Yeah. Yeah, and I'm not a individual who thinks that a religious war can be won with bullets and bombs. In fact, I predicted that when America declared war on the Islamic State and started bombing them, that the Islamic State would become more popular, that they would become better armed, that they would increase their ranks, and they would become more successful, that bullets and bombs would simply facilitate them rather than hinder them. There is just a symbolic benefit of the Muslim belief that Allah can protect himself, that Allah is engaged in the world, that Allah is defending Muslims. The Quran tells Muslims that Allah is engaged with them when they commit acts of terrorism, which is why they always say Allah willing. You know, they'll go off and kill somebody, Allah willing. And so to go off and kill Allah, you know, take the Kaaba and turn it into glass, to obliterate Allah, would be a great symbolic defeat for Muslims.
True, but there's also another one.
Mm-hmm.
Revealed, based on the scripture of Islam, that Allah cannot possibly be the same as the God of the Bible.
Oh, of course.
Islam is finished.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, that Islam's claim to legitimacy is that Allah is the God of the Torah, prophets, and Psalms. And since the Quran is the opposite of the Torah, prophets, and Psalms, not somewhat different, the total opposite, black versus white, that claim is not even remotely accurate. And since the foundational claim of Islam is false, we're doing all Muslims and the world a great service by exposing and condemning this false religion, because this false religion is also, as we've heard recently, the motherlode of bad ideas.
True, but nobody is doing it. You are doing it. I'm doing it. There are another handful of other people doing it. But the elite, the so-called elite leaders in Europe and America, whether they are political, clergy, academia, or whatever, they are not willing, not because they're not able, no, they're not willing to call a spade, and yet the spade is there.
Well, there's a reason, there's a reason, though, that those who are liberal don't call a spade, because political correctness is based on illusions and perceptions, not on truth. And there's a reason that the religious don't call a spade, because every religion is false. And the moment you begin to use evidence and reason against one religion, the other religion knows that it becomes vulnerable to the same set of tools. So I understand that. But the thing that I do not understand among the political and the religious, the elite as you would call them, is why, I mean, I understand why they don't speak out against Islam, because they would have to use evidence and reason which would destroy their own foundation. But why speak in favor of it? Well, you know, if you and I, when we speak out against Islam and expose it using evidence and reason, they condemn us. They speak on behalf of the religion. So they've gone the full extreme. Rather than just ignoring it, they actually promote it.
I don't know if you realize, in the last month, in the United Kingdom especially, because I'm monitoring England and France and Germany, they have been capturing more and arresting more and more young Muslims mm-hmm. born in these countries, mm-hmm. born in Germany, yes. born in France, born right. in Italy, born in England, attempting to murder their own citizens.
Right.
But of course, they're not their own citizens, because from the point of view of Islam,
right.
only Muslims are their own citizens.
Right.
Any Muslim, they tell you, any Muslim killed or hurt anywhere in Dar al-Harb, in the land of the infidels, is an attack against every Muslim on earth.
You know Daniel Pipes?
Yeah,
you know Daniel Pipes, right?
Of course I know.
Yeah. Daniel Pipes was promoting an Islamic reformation. And what he wanted to see was Islam reformed. And I spoke out against that and said, if Islam is reformed, if Islam goes through a reformation and returns to its roots, it will become the most deadly and destructive disease the world has ever known. And so I said that is the world's worst idea. What you're talking about happening in Europe is a result of Islamic reformation. Islam is being reformed by going back to its original Salaf roots around the world.
Correct.
Muslims are becoming more fundamentalist, which is why they're becoming more murderous.
He wrote an article about exactly the same thing, and I countered his article completely, utterly
yes.
decimated it.
Yes.
Not because I said so. Based on exactly the scripture of Islam. As we said, the Quran
right.
forbids any Muslim, true Muslim, from ever being loyal to any group which is not Islamic. It forbids
right.
them. And it says if you are with them, if you are a friend of the Jews, Christians, Buddhists, or Hindus, you are of them, subject to death and destruction. So the instruction not to be loyal is there. And
correct.
Yet he's denying that it exists. He is also politically correct.
Of course. Oh, he's hugely endowed by the Saudi Arabians and other, the Qataris and the like, who wish to spread the same fundamentalist Islamic zeal around the world. I mean, most of our universities have been bought and paid for by the same group. The think tanks in America that the newspapers and media constantly go to for quotes, if you look at their donations, you'll see that they receive tens of millions of dollars from fundamentalist Islamic governments.
Correct.
Daniel Pipes has been bought and sold, as has Harvard, as has most every think tank in
Yale and
Washington.
Columbia, all of them, literally all of them. All the greatest universities in the United States of America have been bought. There were interviews in America with students of these higher echelons of universities.
Mm-hmm.
They have no bloody idea about ISIS. They have nothing, no information, no knowledge. And they are supporting ISIS. I mean, one of the interviewers was telling them, I'm raising money for ISIS so that they don't kidnap people. And young women, young men were signing up.
Right. Yeah, the thing that was so amazing to me is how the United States and Europe are incarcerating people and restraining young Muslim men and women who are trying to leave the United States and Europe to go join the Islamic State. As far as I'm concerned, let them go.
Man,
the last thing you do is you want them here. That's like saying, I want the Ebola here. Don't have the Ebola over there. I mean, are we nuts?
I would let them go. I would take away their citizenship and their passport, and they can
of course.
Do whatever they want. Let them go.
Of course. Yes, just don't come back. You can go.
I won't allow them to come back. And if they came
course.
Back, they would be incarcerated for
right.
the rest of their life.
Correct. And the odds are they're not going to come back. You know, a Muslim woman that goes over there to play sex jihad, do you think she's going to survive the experience?
No way.
No.
No,
no, no, and a you know, and an American boy that's all he knows about Islam is what he reads online, and he sees the Muslims playing jihadists and being called martyrs, and says, you know, I think I want to go play that same game. He's not even trying to come back alive. He's trying to die as a martyr.
Is to die a martyr to the 72 virgins, obviously.
Let him die. That's my whole deal with Islam is that we should not be supporting it. We should not be invading their countries. We should not be arming their countries. We should not be buying oil and gas from their countries. We ought not be engaged in trade with their countries. That if it's an Islamic majority country, we ought to just leave it alone.
You know what would happen to them? They would die.
Of course.
They would die of disease. They
yes.
would die of starvation.
Yes.
They would die because they have no productivity.
Yes.
57 Muslim majority states, 20% of humanity, are the least productively, inventively creative in human history.
Correct.
And you know
they would
die. I've been saying it for 6 years, and not a single person came against me to prove me wrong.
Right. Yes, and you tell me how the world would be worse off if the plague of Islam were to be eradicated from this planet.
It would be the best place to live in.
Of course. Let them, you're not killing, I'm not saying go off and kill them. I just say isolate them. They think their religion is so wonderful. They think their culture is so wonderful. They think they're so moral and pure. You just go let them fend for themselves and stay away from them. And every benefit that America is trying to achieve through bullets and bombs will be achieved without firing one. Welcome back to Shattering Myths. This concluding comment of the last segment, IQ, where you said that you had done, I'm sure, a more comprehensive and better job than I did of refuting Daniel Pipe's argument that Islam needs a reformation, because Islam is going through a reformation, which is why we've seen such an increase in terrorism, that there really is nothing worse than what we're experiencing, this movement towards fundamentalism and Islam. And it's happening without exception around the world. Every time Muslims vote, every time polls are taken of Muslims, the numbers are around 65-70% that vote or side with the most fundamentalist Islamic group.
It's true. And yet our leaders are denying this. They are telling us there are moderate Muslims. There are no moderate Muslims. They don't exist. Only in the figment of imagination of our leaders.
Correct. There's a lot of people who call themselves Muslims who don't know anything about Muhammad, who don't know anything about the Quran, and are just Muslim in name, and they are completely oblivious to everything that Islam represents. But trying to establish the nature of a doctrine based upon those who are oblivious to everything that's important to the doctrine is pretty stupid. And that's basically what we're seeing happening.
You are absolutely right, obviously. The minute somebody says they are fundamentalists, that means they believe in the core of
right.
their belief system.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And the minute they are fundamentalists, that means they are back to Muhammad 7th century Arabia.
Correct.
You can't change it.
No.
Nobody can ever change the Quran. They keep saying that we can moderate it. You can't moderate something that evil. It is impossible.
Correct. Correct. You know, when I was doing what you're doing now, back in the day that I did 5 or 6 hour radio shows a day, 6 days a week, my opening line was always the same. And that is that it's impossible to be a good Muslim and to be a good person. All good Muslims are terrorists. And I said, that's not my opinion. It's not subjective. It's a statement of absolute fact. I think it's impossible to refute that statement, that all good Muslims are terrorists. It's impossible to be a good Muslim and to be a good person.
Okay. Let's not use the word terrorist, potential terrorist. There is no question about it. They can turn at you on a dime.
Mm-hmm.
Potential terrorists. No question right. about it. Every
if
single one
yeah,
of them.
Yeah, if they're a good Muslim, they're following Muhammad's example.
Yeah.
Muhammad yeah. was a terrorist. I mean, if you were to list the behaviors of Muhammad from most prominent to least prominent as it relates to the establishment of Islam, being a terrorist is the single most important trait of Muhammad as it relates to the establishment of Islam?
By the way, this is exactly what the PA, the Palestinian Authority, is doing in Jerusalem. Mm-hmm. They are terrorizing the Israelis in Jerusalem to submit.
Correct.
That's exactly what they're doing. This is an act of terror.
Correct.
Nothing to do with liberation movement, with grievances, nothing whatsoever. This is Muhammad.
Right.
That's
you
how he did
created...
it in Medina. That's how he did it in Mecca. Terrorism.
Right. You create an atmosphere of fear where people are afraid of confronting and not submitting to a ruthless force, and through the imposition of terror, which induces fear, people capitulate. In fact, I've been studying here in the third hour of our program the 91st Psalm, and it right at its beginning, it says, do not fear terrorism. Terrorism is going to come. It's part of the darkness of malicious motives, of evil schemes of men. And do not fear terrorism. Because once you begin to fear terrorism, the terrorist wins.
That is exactly what they are doing. That is exactly what the so-called Palestinians are doing. Mm-hmm. You know, and under Saddam Hussein, these creatures would not exist for one simple reason.
Correct.
They capture a terrorist, the whole family, male, female, children,
right,
are exterminated.
Right. In fact, let me ask you a question. This is the first question I asked at the beginning of the show. In the beginning of the show, I said, what would you prefer? The Iranian regime that's in control of Iraq, the Islamic State, or Saddam Hussein? Return to
Saddam
power.
Hussein anytime.
Absolutely. Saddam Hussein was the best dictator in the Islamic world. And when...
Absolutely. In fact, the best dictator in the history of Iraq.
Absolutely. We did the world a disservice by deposing him.